The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Turning now to Venezuela, where violent protests have erupted over allegations that Sunday's presidential election was stolen by the country's authoritarian leader, Nicolas Maduro. The opposition candidate, who was strongly favored in the poll, says he has proof that he won.
President Maduro took office in 2013, and during his presidency, more than 7 million citizens have fled the country over poverty and violence, many to the U.S.-Mexico border.
And this morning, the opposition has called for peaceful but massive protests, as they say, for people to defend the truth and allow for a transition to happen. There is grave concern about what they could be met with.
Could this be a preview of what's coming to the United States? Really, it's already been here, hasn't it? We saw this in 2020. Isn't it fascinating to watch CBS, and I've got a story here from Reuters, to see how serious they report these charges of election fraud. The election was stolen. Remember 4 years ago, right here in the United States, when they kept saying, no evidence, there's no evidence that it's been stolen. Where is that argument here? We're just a couple days beyond the vote in Venezuela, and it's so obvious. The whole world knows. It makes you wonder how many in the world knew. Leave aside America, but how many in the world knew when they were watching what happened in 2020? You know, the basement candidate who could barely function, the COVID, the mail-in ballots, the drop boxes, the mules. It's so obvious. Now it happens in Venezuela. This is what communists do. They've got it down to a science, stealing elections. They did it in the United States 4 years ago. They did it in Venezuela on Sunday. And they're going to try to do it again here in the States in less than 100 days. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots to get to on this show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or by going to the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go to Rumble, give us the thumbs up. We've got to compete with the thumbs down people. There's not very many of them, but we really need that thumbs up and those encouraging comments down below as well. We got to a few of those yesterday at the tail end of the show. If you'd like to email the program and perhaps get it read on the air, just write us at td@thetrumpet.com. So as I say, is this a preview of what's coming, what we're seeing right now play out on the streets in Venezuela? Venezuela opposition says its victory is irreversible, citing 73% of vote tallies, 73%. It said, this is Reuters, and again, they're reporting it. I mean, they're very objective. That's what shocks me. 4 years ago, they were so totally not objective. They were so in the tank for Joe Bama. Now they've got a bit of objectivity, and really, it puts the Joe Bama administration in a difficult position. I mean, they were calling for free and fair elections months ago. I'll give you an older story here in just a second. But now, what do you do when you've got an authoritarian communist regime that steals or rigs an election and you're a good communist here in the United States? You're going to see them come out like that Kamala tweet. I read that to you yesterday. Well, we've got to respect the will of the people. Well, maybe there's not enough evidence of wrongdoing or election fraud, so just move on. Of course, they were a lot more aggressive in crushing any dissent here in the United States 4 years ago. They've put people in prison. They've indicted people who would dare question. 3.5 years ago, it's perfect. The whole election in the United States is perfect, and now you see what communists do abroad. At least, of course, they rig it. Everybody knows this. this part, this is deep into the Reuters piece. The tallies in possession of the opposition showed a total of 2.75 million votes for Maduro and 6.27 million for his rival, former diplomat Edmundo Gonzalez. 6 million to 2 million in the favor of the opposition. That's quite a disparity. It continues saying the numbers were sharply different to the 5.15 million votes the electoral authority said Maduro had won compared to 4.45 million for Gonzalez. So the election authorities say that Maduro won. It was pretty close, but he won. He won barely. In fact, the opposition won in a landslide. That's what happened. And really, that's what happened in 2020. And you know Trump's going in. You know that he's going into this one. He says as much. It's got to be so big that they can't rig it. They can't possibly rig it. This is the story in the Washington Post from a few weeks ago. It says, for President Biden, it was a gamble. Ease crippling sanctions on the government of Venezuelan strongman Nicolas Maduro in exchange for Maduro's promise to hold a free and fair election for president this year. So he eased the sanctions, but he said to Maduro, now, if we're going to do this, we need some of your oil because we've stopped drilling and fracking and all those things here in our own country. That's the left-wing agenda. But to ease these sanctions, I mean, you're going to have free and fair elections on July 28. It says here, with that election now less than 2 weeks away, Venezuelans and U.S. officials are watching to see if the outreach has helped yield a Democratic vote. The lead up to the July 28 election, again, this is from July 15th, it has not been promising. I mean, they knew going in there was going to be rampant cheating. It says here, the authoritarian socialist state has barred the country's, listen to this and see if it doesn't sound familiar, okay? The authoritarian socialist state has barred the country's most popular politician from running, blocked EU monitors from observing the vote, and harassed opposition candidates and their supporters. That's exactly what's happening in the United States. And the same people that work for Reuters, the New York Times, the Washington Post, you get them on the subject of U.S. elections. I mean, the only thing they can talk about is basically aggressively going after Trump. Now, are you going to accept the results of the election? Well, if it isn't rigged, I will. It's unbelievable, really. what we're seeing play. Will the Joe Obama regime now come out and support this popular uprising? I mean, they're all for democracy, right? I mean, they wanted it all across the Middle East. Going back to the Green Revolution, I think it was, in 2009, they supported all of these popular uprisings except the one that was happening in Iran, because they're right in step with the mullahs. And here, Joe Obama, right in step, ideologically, with Maduro. So what a difficult position to be in. The Washington Post just 2 weeks ago says, it was a trade-off, you know, ease sanctions, but now they assured Biden that they'd have a free and fair election. Everybody in the world sees that that didn't happen. The Washington Post basically gave us the forecast 2 weeks ago. It's going to be rigged. It's going to be stolen. And in fact, it was. You look at some of the, I don't read Spanish, but you look at some of these posts coming out of Venezuela, where they've added up all of the ballots, and in some cases, instead of it being 100% total, it's something like 136%. The numbers don't even add up. And then you've got this massive disparity. The opposition leaders saying, yeah, we got 6 million, you got 2 million. And then the election authority saying, no, we got 5 million, you got 4.5 million. Nice try. Everything was perfect. This is what communists do. This is how they maintain their hold on power, because every socialist state in history has failed. It's like Margaret Thatcher said, I mean, it works okay until you run out of other people's money. Once the money runs out, people wake up. But by then, a lot of times, it's too late. You've got the authoritarian regime in place, and then they control the election authority, and then they stay in power for the long haul. Speaking of running out of other people's money, this was further on. It's toward the end of my notes. It's not a clip. Don't worry, guys. It's from, it's actually a tweet, though, if you could show that. The national debt, it's on page 10-ish, I think. Look at the chart that goes along with this tweet. It says here above the chart, since January 2020, the debt has ballooned by 50% from $23 trillion to $35 trillion. That's just under Joe Biden for the most part. 2020, I mean, Trump was part of this because of the scamdemic, and they had to spend trillions and trillions of dollars just to keep the economy afloat. $23 trillion to $35 trillion in just a little over 4 years. You see the graph there. But listen to this. It says interest on the debt is also skyrocketed with higher rates, averaging around 5% lately. Interest on the debt is on pace for $1.5 trillion next year, about 30% of all government revenue collected. Can you imagine the United States having to pay next year, having to pay $1.5 trillion just in interest? We've run out of other people's money. We've run out of tax revenue. We can't keep borrowing our way into oblivion. Then people are waking up and they want Donald Trump back. Is it too late? They rigged the election right out in broad daylight last time. I mean, some of it happened under the cover of darkness. The trucks that rolled in to these arenas with Biden ballots at 3 a.m. But for the most part, you saw the video. I mean, they were putting up boards over windows so that you couldn't examine those who are responsible for evaluating or making sure that the election was perfect. And then all of these people, including Dinesh D'Souza, who have it on video. People just stuffing ballots into boxes. 10, 20, 30 ballots. And then following the cell phone trail, then going back to the Democrat office, getting more ballots, and then stuffing those boxes. There was a photo circulating on social media yesterday. I think it was Al Sharpton who put it out. The Air Force One flight, I think it was to Austin, Texas, where Biden gave his big speech on basically we got to blow up the Supreme Court. I mean, think about that. Sam gave me all these headlines from 2020 where they couldn't pin anyone down. Kamala, Biden, anyone in the Democrat Party about, hey, do you want to blow up the court? Do you want to make it a 27-member Supreme Court? And they wouldn't answer. They wanted to, of course, but that's how politically unpopular that line was back just 4 years ago. And as an example of just how thoroughly and completely radicalized these people have become over such a short period of time. Now it's a full throttle, support for just blowing it up because the Supreme Court has issued rulings that these people don't agree with. I'll get to that a little bit later. But Sundance says about this video, you see Clyburn, Al Sharpton, he works for MSNBC. What's he doing there? Well, Sundance says that this was a ballot harvesting meeting. They're getting together. Clyburn's the expert. They're going to use race baiting. If you have any kind of restrictions on the ballots, identification or whatever else, that's racist. You know it's coming. There they are, conspiring. How can we steal it? I think Sundance is right. If it's not in this meeting, you know what's going on in other meetings. Stacey Abrams, the Dear Leader, all of them. How are they going to pull it off this time? How are they going to make it plausible this time? Well, part of the way they do that is by making sure that you fall for the hype that Kamala is wildly popular. That Kamala, this is like 2008 all over again. People love them some Kamala. Oh, yes, they do. And the race, it's razor thin now. That's all you need. Just convince people that it's a tight race and then go and find the ballots that you need to get Kamala over the hump. That's all. That's what they did in 2020. They stopped the election in the swing states, and then they went and found the ballot. They went and harvested the ballots. They needed to know how many ballots they needed to go get, and they went and got them. That's the way it works in communist states. Sundance says here, intellectually honest political followers can clearly see the race-based political assembly was a meeting to discuss 2024 ballot harvesting and precinct ballot scanning operations using the civil rights trip as a cover for their assembly. That's Sundance commenting on this photo that came out of Air Force One yesterday. He says, by my math, in combination with the previous activity by the Clyburn AME ballot scheming operation, I would predict for 2024, the ballot operation has around 300,000 to 500,000 potential ballot scans per the 17 regions that Clyburn is covering. That means somewhere around 5.1 million to 8.5 million fraudulent ballots should be anticipated. And the only question is, can Kamala stay close enough in case they need to go out and get 8.5 million ballots? Can't she just stay close enough to where the steal seems plausible, to where it's not so obvious like it was down in Venezuela? You know, Sam and I were talking this morning, maybe the dear leader wants it to be obvious this time so that people take to the streets a la January 6th, and then there's another communist-style crackdown on the dissent. We know the dear leader, ultimately, he wants a civil war. He wants violence. He wants mayhem. He told some of his supporters a few years back, hey, stay angry. That's right. Forget about what people say, the angel of light persona. They swoon. He's healed the racial divide. No, he's done exactly the opposite. He's ripped the country apart during this fundamental transformation. And we're going to see more violence. Sadly, we're going to see more violence. And you know that's the case if you just listen to Joe Obama. If you just watch what he does. If you see how he treats political prisoners. If you see what he does to Donald Trump. I mean, the assassination attempt, that was July 13th. They're already trying to scrub those photos from social media. Can you believe this? It's a little over 2 weeks ago. It's the first assassination attempt on a U.S. president, or a former president in this case. Actually, he's the real president, isn't he? Since the early 1980s, and thanks to your friends at Google and elsewhere, they're already trying to revise the history in real time, or at least blot it out so that you can't see it, so that you can't find it if you run a search for it. Sundance says here, if the operation using the leverage of Barack Obama and the media can create the illusion of more support, they might be able to increase the harvest scan number. If they can create the illusion that people love Kamala, well, maybe they might be able to go over 8.5 million fake ballots. Why not? It's razor thin. That's the new red mirage. Remember that? They prepared us for the steal. They said the quiet part out loud. Now, when we get to election day, just remember, we're not going to be able to count all the ballots on election day like we have historically, like we have in every other U.S. presidential election. What? You mean just like that? We've got a totally new system? Yeah, COVID, see. So there might be a red mirage on the day of, but just wait. We'll go find the blue votes in the 5 days that follow. And they did. And the media anointed Joe Biden as the fake president. And we were told by conservative media, too, within just a few days, after all of these After all of these warnings, these alarm bells going off, it was rigged. It was stolen. Did Reuters come along and say, with charges of rigging and stealing an election, this will be investigated for... No. Reuters came out immediately with all of them and said, there's no evidence of any kind of steal, any kind of cheating. No. And so we were told to go along. And so was everything fixed that was broken in 2020 that the dear leader manipulated and used to his advantage? Well, I'm not sure it was fixed well enough in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. James Carville is saying that there's no way Kamala can win unless she gets those three states. And lucky for her, the cheating machines are in full motion in those three crucial states. We'll see what happens in Georgia and Arizona. But the polls, remember, the polls were favoring Donald Trump so much, I'm talking about before Joe Biden stepped aside, that it would have just seemed so ridiculously implausible that Biden actually beats him on November 5. But now comes Kamala and, oh, the media. It's almost like they're swooning. Swooning before this woman that was so dreadfully unpopular 4 years ago that she dropped out before Iowa. And then the last 3.5 years, she's practically invisible. She doesn't even go to the border. Look at this. By the way, this is a little bit of an aside here. But look at this devastating new campaign ad put out by the Trump campaign. This is clip one.
This is America's border czar, and she's failed us. Under Harris, over 10 million illegally here. A quarter of a million Americans dead from fentanyl. Brutal migrant crimes. And ISIS now here.
Do you have any plans to visit the border? You haven't been to the border.
And I haven't been to Europe. I mean, I don't understand the point that you're making.
Kamala Harris, failed, weak, dangerously liberal.
Dangerously liberal is right. She's a failure. That's what you would get if you had an honest press. But we don't have that. Sundance says the Obama network, in close coordination with the DNC, has organized the online social media influence operation. As the reports are now showing, the TikTok and Instagram influencers are already being paid to push Kamala Harris messaging. This is to support the Clyburn ballot scanning operation. Push the Kamala messaging. That, as I say, is the new Red Mirage narrative. It's a close race. I mean, it's super tight. They're running neck and neck. Hopefully the Trump people aren't underestimating, not so much Kamala. I mean, he was on with Laura Ingraham last night saying, I think she's a weaker candidate than Biden. If it's possible, he's right. He's right, but he's not going up against Kamala. He's going up against this lying, cheating, stealing Democrat Marxist regime. It's a machine in Philadelphia, in Detroit, in Milwaukee. They cheat. They cheat. Everybody in the world knows it with respect to Venezuela. And I think there's quite a few that know it's happened in America before as well. It's a close race. Here's what Joe Klein wrote. Kamala Harris is off to a better start than any of us could have anticipated. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance have helped by playing the creepy misogynist card. It's remarkable how profoundly they've screwed things up. You may not notice. You may not have noticed, but there was no convention bounce. Not even after the failed assassination attempt, which could have set the stage for a massive outpouring of public sympathy. And Kamala's momentum is likely to continue for the next weeks. Let's say the next 90 some days. Yeah, the momentum. He says here, let's get real. It's going to be a tough election. We're going to be hearing that now for 3 months. It's neck and neck. And they'll go and they'll word the questions for some left-wing poll any way that they can to show you that, yeah, it's 50-50. If they can just keep it 50-50 in the minds of most Americans, then it will be plausible that she actually wins. That's what, it's all about the narrative. It's all about the illusion. And they were talking openly about it just 3.5 years ago. Yeah, it could be on election night that there's a red mirage. These people, they're gonna try to steal it right out in broad daylight. We'll see. We'll see. It does make you wonder if it's going to be so obvious, so ridiculously obvious that they steal it, that maybe then, maybe the mayhem spills into the streets like we're seeing in Venezuela. But maybe then the Supreme Court will finally, like we've been suggesting may be the case, but it may be that they finally intervene to say, this is enough. This is obvious fraud. We're not going to let this happen. I mean, that aligns with what we've said about Amos 7 and verse 13. The whole, I mean, everything playing out right now is so obvious that Amos 7 is being fulfilled. And everything about that prophecy, it's laid out in this book that we refer to so often for obvious reasons, America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy of this, make sure you call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. This Joe Klein piece, he says, so cause for optimism? Sure, certainly. There were three overriding issues running against the Democrats in this election, and one massive iceberg, mostly submerged, which I'll get to in a minute. The biggest issue by far was Joe Biden's age and his inability to inspire. That's gone and may be replaced by Donald Trump's age and incoherence. This is inspiring. Kamala is the new Obama. Kabama! There you go. Expect a steady diet of that in the coming months. And again, you look at these people, they oftentimes say the quiet part out loud. The close race is the new red mirage. But look, I mean, you think about just the audacity of trying to create 10 plus million ballots out of thin air when there's not a pandemic or anything like that to hide behind. Would they really try this? I think they would. I think they would do it if it was obvious to every person in the world. Look at what they've done to those who would dare question the results from 4 years ago. They crushed those people. They destroyed those people financially or otherwise. They had pre-dawn raids to go after those people. Look at what they tried to do to Donald Trump. They tried to shoot him dead. They tried to murder him in broad daylight with the cameras running, and more cameras running that day than at previous rallies. That's interesting. They know this time around. I mean, that's a perfect excuse to crush, I mean, physically crush any and all dissent. I mean, Maduro, look at him. He's a communist authoritarian through and through. And evidently got beat 6 to 2 million. But yet he still comes forward and says, yeah, we won. We won the race. So all of you dissidents, you can shut your mouths. Or I'll send out the goons to take care of the dissent. Seen it happen, play out so many times before. Donald Trump tweeted out this morning, I think it was, Facebook has just admitted that it wrongly censored the Trump attempted assassination photo and got caught. Same thing for Google. They made it virtually impossible to find pictures or anything about this heinous act. Both are facing big backlash over censorship claims. They were caught for doing this in 2020. A lot of it because of Elon Musk. I mean, I'm just kind of shaking my head at some of his tweets. He's sounding more and more like MAGA with every passing day. It's unbelievable. What a change. And like I said last week or the week before, you read that Isaacson book about Musk. And I mean, there was a time when he had just contempt for Donald Trump. Not now. His eyes have been opened to this communist takeover of the United States, and he doesn't want any part of it. Donald Trump says, here we go again, another attempt at rigging the election. Go after Meta and Google. Let them know we are all wise to them. We'll be much tougher this time around. We'll see. We'll see what the Republican apparatus is like as they try to protect the integrity of the upcoming election. This trip that the fake president took to Austin yesterday, you know about the meeting with all the election experts on board Air Force One. And then he gets to Austin, he gives his much anticipated speech where he just absolutely trashes the Supreme Court. This is clip 4.
And today I'm calling for 3 bold reforms to restore trust and accountability to the court and our democracy. As a press shout to me as I got off Air Force One, the Republican Speaker of the House said, whatever he proposes is dead on arrival. Well, I think his thinking is dead on arrival. First, I'm calling for a constitutional amendment called No One is Above the Law Amendment. It holds, and I mean this sincerely, it holds that there's no immunity for crimes former president committed while in office. The court made a ruling for one, a former president. No other president in our history has asked for this kind of immunity for criminal actions. The second thing I'm asking for, we've had term limits for presidents of the United States for nearly 75 years after the Truman administration. And I believe we should have term limits for Supreme Court justices of the United States as well. Term limits would help ensure that the court membership changes with some regularity. That would make timing for the court's nomination more predictable and less arbitrary. Reduce the chance that any single presidency imposes undue influence in generations to come. The bipartisan commission I convened analyzed various term limit structures. Based on their report, I believe the best structure is the 18-year term limit. That would help ensure the country would not have what it has now, an extreme court that's proud of an attack on the confirmation process that's been weaponized by those seeking to carry out an extreme agenda for decades to come. Third, I'm calling for a binding code of conduct for the Supreme Court. But the current justices insist on enforcing that requirement themselves without any public oversight or compulsion.
Why would they so aggressively go after the Supreme Court at this time? It's interesting to see. I mean, there's less than 100 days until the election. And to pass a constitutional amendment, I mean, you're going to need a 2-thirds majority in both houses. I think I'm pretty sure you need the support of at least that from the states as well. I could be wrong on the figures there. It just seems like it's so unlikely that anything like this could happen. And then what must the Supremes be thinking, Clarence Thomas and Alito and them, as you have a rogue presidency basically trying to destroy a branch of government? Do these people know that the Supreme Court is all that stands in the way of a total takeover? Here, a total communist takeover. Here again, Amos 7:13, the kingdom's court. 2 Kings 14 says that there's no helper for Jeroboam. The only institution, the only branch that appears to provide some support is the Supreme Court. Will we see a steal again? This one even more preposterous and audacious than ever before. At least the plausibility of it. And then the Supreme Court intervening. Maybe there's another way that this plays out. It does say that Jeroboam has to war to recover what's rightfully his. These next 3 months are going to be pretty interesting. I just think it's interesting to see just how the Supreme Court is front and center with respect to these radical communists that have nearly taken over the country. The Morning Brief, this is Richard Palmer from our UK office. Joe Biden outlined his plan to assert leftist control of the Supreme Court in an op-ed in the Washington Post. Under his plan, each judge would spend just 18 years on the court. A new judge would be nominated every 2 years. A binding code of conduct would restrict what judges and their spouses say publicly and require them to turn down gifts. He's really concerned about their conduct, the fake president. This same man that's just raked in tens of millions of dollars from American adversaries abroad, the CCP, Russia even. Richard says here, this is not really about Supreme Court reform. It's about Democrats trying to evict judges who made rulings they don't like. Yeah, the 18-year term limit, it's retroactive. So yeah, we could get rid of Thomas that way. We could get rid of Alito. And then the court won't be so activist, say these communist propagandists. Just some of the headlines. Why now? Here we are. These are some of those headlines from 2020. Kamala Harris declines to say if Biden would pack the Supreme Court. Axelrod, here's another one. Harris should have had a better answer than a non-answer on packing the Supreme Court. Kamala Harris dodges question on packing the Supreme Court. Another says Joe Biden refuses to say he won't pack the Supreme Court. They just wouldn't go there 4 years ago. Now they're going there. It's a full frontal assault. Now a much anticipated speech in Austin. Now we've got to blow it up. We've got to make it 27 justices, not just 9. We've got to get rid of Clarence Thomas and Alito. This was seen as radically extreme just 3.5 years ago. Why now? It says here, for months, leftist outlets have tried to manufacture smear stories about conservative judges. Democrats like former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi can make a fortune on the stock market and with purchases that seem surprisingly well-timed, and they're not interested. They're not, he quotes someone writing at the Federalist Society, if Democrats want to adopt an across-the-board ethics ban for all branches, I'm in favor of that. No jets, no meals, no speaking honorariums, no gifts for anyone for any reason in any branch, starting with Congress. Until they support that, let's be honest about what this is about. A campaign to destroy a court that they disagree with. A court that can actually push back against this communist takeover. A court that can actually help Donald Trump secure what's rightfully his. This guy makes a good point. Look, if we're eliminating corruption in the court, I'll get behind if it's for corruption in every branch, but they're not going to do that. I saw a tweet the other day how AOC came into power just with a House seat that she has to get, you know, reelected into every 2 years. She came in to the House a few years back in debt. I think she owed like $8,000, and today she's worth 20-something million dollars. How did that happen? On a House of Representatives salary. How? Because there's just so much corruption. There's so many bribes. You pass this legislation, and we'll give you a few perks. In bed with the lobbyists. That's how it works. It's been this way for decades. And who's benefited from it the most? Boy, look at these radicals. You know, I saw, and we're going to probably play some clips from it later this week, this this video that's going around. Over 10 million people have watched it now. President Trump playing golf with, I think his name's DeChambeau. He's the best golfer in the world. And they're playing a best ball. And Donald Trump's actually holding his own. It's pretty impressive for a 78-year-old man. But anyway, just to watch their exchange and the way Donald Trump, talks with the caddies and the one thing that stood out to me, too, is that I didn't even see really any Secret Service in the background. Hopefully the place was secure. I think they filmed that sometime in July. hopefully the terrain wasn't too sloped for the Secret Service guys. But here you see Donald Trump just being, you know, authentic. Here you see the two of them. Every time they get a birdie on this hole, $10,000 goes to charity. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a prominent Democrat millionaire that's actually given money to a good cause or a charity? Here's Donald Trump, and here's the greatest golfer in the world chatting it up, and tens of millions of people want to see this because they know it's real. They know he's a man of the people. Where's that clip? It's toward the end of my notes. Play the one where the guy is saying that there's nothing about Donald Trump or J.D. Vance that's normal. See if you can find that one.
So when these guys get in situations in front of real people and trying to pretend like they know what people are going through, they've got nothing to offer. And no one can picture them in their own lives. I brought this thing up that Donald Trump tries to mock Vice President Harris for laughing. And I made the point, you never see this guy laugh. You never see him do these normal things. Imagine when I go home at night, I pick up the Frisbee and throw it, and my dog catches it, he comes over, he gets the belly rub for being a good boy. Picture these guys doing that kind of stuff. They just can't.
They just can't. Here, I have a suggestion. Watch the golf video between Trump and DeChambeau and then compare it to Kamala's fake, staged, scripted phone call with the Obamas or the one 4 years ago. We did it, Joe. You're going to be president. Go look at them. Who's normal? Who's abnormal? I mean, Donald Trump is a billionaire. I mean, that makes him very different from just about everyone else in the country. But he's never laughed? He's never done anything normal? No, you got that wrong. It's the other side. They're the ones who are fake. This article, I won't even have time to get to it. It's from the American Thinker. What's the title of it? I'll just give it to you in passing. Maybe I can come to it tomorrow. The Democrat Party is the greatest threat to America, but it says, I'll just jump ahead. It talks about basically the communist infiltration of the United States. In our brochure, he was right. It says it's prophesied. And Herbert Armstrong was on this back in the 1950s. And the thing that stood out to me in this piece is it goes back to the 50s and the 40s. It goes back a century, and it shows how step by step, by methodical step, the communists have taken over America and that everything's riding on this next election. He was right, Herbert Armstrong. He was right. And this guy at the American Thinker this morning, it's a great article with some good history. But he talks about how that this communist revolution really did accelerate once the dear leader, showed up in 2008, Barack Hussein Obama. This process began in 2008 when the American Marxists found their ideal stealth candidate. He was stealth. He came in with flatteries. He came in with lies and deceit. And now everyone sees it. Barack Obama, he's the stealth candidate. Not only was he beneath the facade of glibness, conviviality, and moderation, a fellow Marxist socialist, but more importantly, Obama was able to exploit the decades of inculcated racial guilt among the populist. I mean, he was the perfect man for the job. The Antiochus role, the Antiochus movement, perfect. These are the fake people. Never mind what that guy said there in the exchange with Circleback. I mean, he's the one. These are the people that are fake. At least with Donald Trump and his closest advisors, there is some authenticity. There is concern for the American people. There is concern for what's happening to the United States. There is some pushback against the fundamental transformation of the United States. Now here we are in 2024. Do you think the dear leader could have come in 2008? Campaigning on, I think I'd like to blow up the Supreme Court. How about that? I think I'll win popular support from Americans if I destroy one of the three branches of government in the United States. No, never would have happened in 2009, but here we are, 2024. I mean, it's like the Supreme Court in many ways is the last man standing for traditional America, and that's why they hate him. That's why they hate Clarence Thomas. Isn't it interesting, too? I mean, again, we've talked about how God has a sense of humor on this program. You know who led the charge against Clarence Thomas and accused him of all of this, you know, sexual whatever, rape or less than that? Harassment, I guess it was, with Anita Hill. I'm having to dust off the memory bank. It was Joe Biden who led the charge against that black man because he didn't conform. And so they attacked him. And here, many, many years later, what is it, 30-some years later, and that black justice in the Supreme Court, he's turned out to be quite an obstacle for these radical Marxist revolutionaries. Play this from, again, just another example of not just the regime, but their allies in the media going after the Supreme Court. Clip 6.
One feature of those term limits bills that is important is that they're retroactive. So justices that have served 18 years then move on at the end of their terms. It doesn't start in 2024. It starts when they came on. So it begins the process of a turnover and refreshment at the court right away.
Does the retroactive term limits, which, by the way, puts us in line with other major democracies, there are a lot of things about our court that are unusual.
And then along comes the Supreme Court and says, no, the Founding Fathers got it wrong. We know better than they do. They never mentioned immunity for the president, but we're going to make that up and we're going to give that to him. And by the way, we'll include treason. It just makes no sense. So I think it's going to be, it's a pretty rotten decision, and things that are rotten tend to stink, and stinks tend to stick. And I think that moves the public.
I think that guy's a senator, by the way. He's talking about there's no way they could have ruled to give Trump any kind of immunity. Really, the only thing in the Constitution that grants immunity is to us, those of us in Congress. Oh, okay. Got it. You're protected. You can do whatever you want. But not the President of the United States. These people have lost their minds. Trump derangement syndrome on steroids. They tried to assassinate him 2 weeks ago. And now here they are going around talking about blowing up the court. Yeah, we've got to pack the court. We've got to put term limits on Thomas and Alito. We've got to make it retroactive. These are the sounds of those panicking. That what if we pull off the steel and then the Supreme Court squashes that effort? The Supreme Court says, nope, you're not going to be able to do it. We don't know how it's all going to play out. But, you know, as I was thinking this morning, if you see the momentum that they try to give yet another possible fake president, if you see all these false narratives, if you see the censorship on social media sites, if you see them trying to blot out even the assassination attempt, that iconic photo, just keep in mind the bigger picture. Just think about the great God above, who just 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, he got the real president off on a tangent, off the teleprompter, looking over at the graphic to his right, and then cocking his head just at the perfect time to where the assassin's bullet just barely clipped his ear. God, it says in 2 Kings 14, intervenes to save America, to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. God's going to do it somehow. whether it's through the ballot box, whether it's such a big victory, it's too big to rig, or even if it is rigged. You can't rule that out. Waking up the day after the election and finding out that, yeah, it's going to be another one of those things. A week-long count as they work to harvest the ballots. They're in control. I mean, what's to stop them? You couldn't even get the Rhino Republicans in Georgia to stop them last time. They just step aside, let Stacey Abrams and the Dear Leader have their way. Look at how obvious it was in Venezuela over the weekend. Is that what's coming to the United States? Listen to this from MSNBC, clip 7.
It has the backing of the de facto Democratic nominee, Vice President Harris, who said in a statement, quote, "These popular reforms will help to restore confidence in the court, strengthen our democracy, and ensure no one is above the law." In short, it's meant to be a prescription for what ails the United States Supreme Court. It is the end result of years and years and years of pent-up frustration from Democrats about the Supreme Court, and it marks a profound evolution in the party's stance and the president's.
It is the right thing to do, and there's no question that Roberts Court is in a crisis, that the people do not trust them. The ethical lapses have been huge and notable, and most Americans realize it's not right that these guys can take all this free stuff where everybody else in government has to be very transparent and can't do those kinds of things.
Everyone else in government is so transparent and they can't take free stuff. No, AOC doesn't do that. No, Pelosi, no. No free stuff for the Pelosi family or the Schumers, no. Or the Romneys, no. Or the Bidens. Or how much is Obama worth, by the way? Isn't it like $300-400 million by this point? Where did he get it? How did the Bidens get 6 mansions all over the world? 5+ decades serving their country. So transparent. Mm-hmm. It's just Clarence Thomas that takes freebies. That's the message. All these people. Liars. Is America's Supreme Court in Bible prophecy? This is my father's article from January 2019, The Trumpet. It says, when in Amos 7:13, Amaziah says it's the king's court, the word kings is a different Hebrew word than the one talked about with respect to the king's chapel. It means kingdom. The King James Version margin reads, house of the kingdom. Wycliffe translates it, house of the realm. This is not a religious entity. It is something else, the nation's house. It is not something that is following Jeroboam, yet it favors him. It favors him. And you can see why. I mean, a third of the court was appointed by Donald Trump. I mean, even that's miraculous. Particularly with, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying just a few months before Trump was removed, or a few months before they stole it from him, I guess to be more precise. I believe this non-religious entity, the kingdom's house, is referring to the United States Supreme Court. This court was designed to guard the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. In many ways, the Supreme Court is over the whole nation. Even the president is subject to it, which is exactly the type of entity that the house of the kingdom is referring to. Pretty amazing, just the detail of this prophecy in Amos 7. As I say, Amos 7 right now, where America is right now, Amos 7 is front and center. It says, finally, I believe this prophetic account in Amos 7 implies that there's a conservative advantage in the Supreme Court, one that favors Jeroboam. My father, again, this is back in 2019, he says, radicals want to control the courts, especially the Supreme Court, and God upset those plans. He has a plan of his own. Make sure you subscribe to the Trumpet magazine if you want tomorrow's news today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.